Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
If you would, to the book of Galatians. You know, we're starting this series on Galatians called Faith Under Fire, and we're going to be kind of basically in the same scriptures, but I'm going to expand more on the gospel tonight than I was able to do on Friday. So it's a whole new, fresh message. As we would say, it's hot off the press. I printed it up at about 4:45. When I finished writing it, I had sent all the scriptures yesterday to my sister that we were going to use today so she could get the PowerPoint ready. And I said when I came in, sorry, here's a new message. You're going to have to get some new scriptures. But let me read Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and the God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory be forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we open up your word tonight, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. That, Father, you would bypass or filter through our minds, but we ask that your word would get into our hearts tonight. That we would have a clear understanding of the gospel. Because in these scriptures, Paul gives one of the strongest warnings that he gives in any of his letters. That if we preach a different gospel than what Paul preached, that we will be accursed. And Father, you have called every one of us as your sons and daughters to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, we need to make sure that we are preaching the only gospel. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. As I said, tonight I'm going to concentrate more on what is the gospel. Have a little few ideas that I shared on Friday, but I want to just kind of to unpack what is the gospel, because it's the reason all of us are here. We accepted Christ when we heard the gospel, and that's why we're here. The gospel literally just means the good news. It's used 103 times in 97 verses in, I think, 11 books of the New Testament. Now, that's what I found using my Logos Bible software. So if you use a different software and a different translation, it may be a little different. Because I looked up one translation, and it even had where Jesus quoted Isaiah, where it says, the Spirit is anointed, is upon me and has anointed me to proclaim good news. In one translation in Isaiah, they say the gospel. So if you look up in that translation, then you will find the gospel once in the Old Testament. But it's mainly a New Testament word. And it's the word evangelion, where we get our English word evangelist, evangelical, evangel. And it simply means good news. So when we talk about evangelism, it's very simple. Just share good news. And we have the good news, and it is the gospel of Jesus. But to understand how good the gospel is, we need to take a few moments and look at kind of the bad news from the Old Testament called the law. Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses is giving the law, and it was given to Israel. And the law can be thought of as a measuring stick. I used to do a lot of woodworking, and we had a saying, measure twice, cut once. Okay? And then I worked on a job one time, and the guy up on the roof had a tape measure, and he would measure. And he would call the measurements down to me, and I would measure twice, cut, send them up. And they were always about 1 1/4 inches too long. And he got so mad at me for cutting the boards wrong. And then I looked at his tape measure, and it had, the end had broken off. So he had just cut it and then attached the, you know, and was using a tape measure that was 1 1/4 shorter than was standard. Now, sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to not line up with the standard. Maybe there's something in the gospel, something in the scripture that we don't like, so we kind of cut it off. And so maybe our standard is not really standard. It's man-made. I heard of a man one time that started reading the Bible, and he saw scriptures he didn't like, so he took a black magic marker, and every time he saw a scripture he didn't like, he would just black it out in his Bible. Well, that's not the way. If you don't agree with what the Bible says, then you need to change your agreeer to line up with the Word, because the gospel is the standard. The law was the standard that the people of Israel had to stand by. The problem was the requirements of the law were so stringent that no human could keep them. And so despite how good you were, or despite how bad you were, everybody was on a level playing field, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As I mentioned Friday, you cannot come to church enough to earn your way to heaven. You can't give enough to buy your way to heaven. You can't work enough for the church to get to heaven. It is simply by grace in the gospel. No other way. And Paul tells the Galatians here, he says, I'm surprised that you turned away so quickly. And I hope it's okay with you guys. Dell and I get pretty real up here with our life story and what we're struggling with. And if your pastor has to be perfect, this is not the place for you to be. Okay? Because if you think I'm perfect, just talk to my wife after service and she will assure you that I am not. Okay? But I remember when we first got saved, I loved reading the Bible. I liked praying. We would go to church and they'd shut the lights off to get us to leave. And I meant on fire for Jesus. How many of you remember those days? Now, let me ask you, are you as on fire today as you were then? Don't answer, don't raise, you know. But I remember the cares of life happened. Stuff happened. Work happened. Life reality happened. And I wasn't as excited about the word. And then we went to Bible school and it got even worse. Because I'm in the Bible all day in class. The last thing I want to do is read it again for pleasure. Come on now. I'm just getting real with you. I found out the easiest place to backslide is in Bible school. You know why? Because this turns from the living Word of God to a textbook. Please, don't read this because the church has a reading plan and you're duty bound to follow the reading plan of the church. Read it because you're in love with the author, the one that wrote it. Amen? It is the good news. It is the gospel. But no one could live up to the law. Everyone was a sinner. And in order for us to go to heaven, to God's dwelling place and a realm of life and light, something had to happen with the sin in our life. Our sin had to be paid for. And according to the law, the only way our sin could be paid for was the sacrifice of blood. You and I deserved to die. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Hebrews 9:12 said it's only through the shedding of blood that a sacrifice can be made. So that's the backdrop. That's the bad news of where we came from with the law. Now here's the gospel. Here's the good news. The gospel involves Jesus' death on the cross as the sin offering to fulfill the law's righteous requirements. You can find this in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, and Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. The gospel, the death on the cross, fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. See, what we could not do in our own strength, Jesus did on the cross. Under the law, animal sacrifices were offered year after year as a covering of sin. When the children of Israel would come and they would have the feast and they would make the sacrifice and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, that simply covered their sin for a year. But every year, it had to be redone. Most of us here are here with civil IDs. Now the civil IDs are usually for a year. Every year I have to go renew the residence or the license for my car. That covers my car to make it legal for a year. That's what the sacrifices did. It covered the sin of the people to make them legally able to worship God for another year. But Jesus came so that his sacrifice not just covered our sin, but totally removed the penalty of that sin. A once and for all sacrifice. When Cross offered himself at Calvary, that symbol of sacrifice became a reality for all who would believe. Now, there are some fallacies that we have in the church about the gospel. Oh, you want to go to heaven? Just come pray this little prayer for me, with me. Sorry, that's not the gospel. Believe in your heart on Jesus and confess with your mouth and be changed. Repent. Amen. Amen. That's a word that you don't hear in the church too much anymore. Repent. You're going this way. You're living against Jesus. But you want to get saved? Repent. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. No, repent. Turn around and go the opposite direction of what you've been living. I remember when my wife and I got saved, we got radically changed to where people didn't want to be around us anymore because we were different. Amen? That's what it means. You need to repent. I've told the story in Kenya where we lived for many years. The statistics over a 10-year period, 55 million people gave their hearts to Jesus in crusades in Kenya. That sounds great. 55 million people? There's only 30 million Kenyans. There's only about 15 million Tanzanians and about 18 million Ugandans. So I guess the crusades got everybody in Kenya, everybody in Tanzania, everybody in Uganda saved. But out of 30 million people in Kenya, it was estimated that only about 4 or 5 million attended church. So there's 50 million people that gave their hearts to Jesus that don't go to church. If you look at the statistics for crusades. And I used to go to the main park in Nairobi and I would witness to people. And I'd walk up to this guy and I'd say, "Hey man, do you know Jesus? You know?" And just start talking. They said, "Oh yeah, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven." "Well, how?" "Well, I listened to this guy up on Uhuru Park and he said if I'd come down front and pray, say these words after him, he'd give me a free book and I'd go to heaven." And he would name off about 8 or 9 or 10 international evangelists that had been through the city of Nairobi that told them, "If you come down front and say these words after me, I'll give you something, some kind of follow-up literature and put you on my mailing list." But yet they had never changed. They had never repented. They just said some words. Getting quiet in here. The gospel is to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I grew up, I went to church. I've said this many times, every Sunday. I was taken to church. My dad had the idea that if I lived in his house and ate his food, I went to church when he went to church. So I went to church. I remember for about 5 years in my middle school years, I never missed a Sunday. Perfect attendance. All of the memory verses. I had to because my first cousin was my Sunday school teacher. And she would give it to you if you missed. But I would go out on Saturday night and get so drunk sometimes I'd have to call my dad to come pick me up because he says, "Never drive my car if you're intoxicated." But I was in church on Sunday morning. And I had everybody fooled. My pastor thought I was a Christian. I think my dad thought I was a Christian even though he questioned it. My Sunday school teacher thought I was a Christian. I had everybody fooled. except me and God. I knew the reality of my life. I knew how I was living, and God knew how I was living. And then one day when I was 21, we were married. I'd been in the military and got all messed up with that kind of stuff. And at 21, God showed up in our living room and we gave our hearts to Jesus. And we have never been the same. That was 21, I'm 62, that was 41 years ago. And we've been serving him now for 41 years because we repented, changed our lives, and it made a difference in our lifestyle. The gospel. The work of atonement is finished now, and that is good news. The gospel also involves not just the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. The fact that Jesus conquered sin and death, sin's penalty, is good news. But let me give you some better news. He shares that victory with you and I. Jesus had victory over sin, the grave, and death. And he rose again, and the Bible says that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. It's good news that Jesus overcame sin of the world. But it's even better news that he allows me to partake of it. He did it for me. Now, I know we're not supposed to be selfish, but I'm going to tell you, I'm selfish in that one. Jesus died for me. Now, it's wonderful he died for you, Jasper, but it's great he died for me. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put down your salvation, but because there's nothing I can do to save you, but there is something I can do to get my salvation. I can believe in Jesus. I can confess with my mouth, and that's the thing that we need to share with others. So what is the gospel? The elements of the gospel are clearly stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and all the apostles. And then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due season. Notice, first of all, that Paul received the gospel and then he passed it on. I think everybody in this building has received the gospel. The crux of this message is not to try to get you saved, because I know almost all of you and I believe you're all saved. This message is what you have received, you need to give away. You need to give it to others. So Paul received this message and then he passed it on. It is a divine message that he received. It's not something that he made up. When Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus and then he was saved, he went and he spent time in his home city. And I believe during those months and the time spending with God, that God shared with him the truths that he gives in his letters. Second, the gospel is of first importance. Everywhere that the apostles went, they preached the gospel. In the book of Acts, it says that persecution came on the church, and everywhere the disciples went, they preached the gospel. Now, how many of you have off tomorrow still? Okay, you go back to work on Tuesday? Okay. So it won't work for tomorrow because you're going to be at home and hopefully you don't need to preach the gospel at home. Maybe you do. And it doesn't work with me at work because hopefully I don't need to preach the gospel to the people I work with. But I would imagine some of you work at some places where not everyone knows Jesus. So wherever you go, do you preach the gospel? Wherever you go, do you share the good news of Jesus? Now, I know in this country, sometimes there's some fear that we don't want people to know we're Christians. But they have a pretty good idea because you're not from here. Okay, you understand? Don't be afraid. Number three, the message of the gospel was accompanied by proof. Jesus died and he rose again, and his resurrection was witnessed by people. Okay? One of the greatest historical facts is the resurrection of Christ. And fourth, it was all done according to the book. It wasn't done just as some man's idea. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The gospel is a bold message, and we don't need to be ashamed of it. It is a powerful message because it is God's good news. It's a saving message, and it is the only thing that can reform the human heart. And it is a universal message, because it is for everyone. The Jews and the Greeks. Under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. Then when Jesus came, lived his life, died on the cross, was buried and resurrected, everything changed. Everybody, listen to me, everybody, Jew, Gentile, whoever, we all get saved today the exact same way. Okay? There is a teaching going through the church around the world that to be saved, to be real Christians, we need to go back and we need to keep all of the feasts and do all of the rituals of the law. But I'm going to share with you, you're going to learn in the book of Galatians throughout the next 12 to 14 weeks that Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and we are now free from the curse of the law, and we now walk under the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So everybody on the face of this planet today gets saved in one way. Repent, believe on Jesus, and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you shall be saved. Amen. Can we all agree on that? Amen. As I shared Friday, we're from different nationalities, different backgrounds, different church affiliations, but we can all agree on the gospel. Now, for just a couple of minutes, let me share with you why the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news because God loved this world so much that he sent Jesus. John 3:16. We have a life group every Saturday with the family that's coming, and they've got a bunch of kids. And last week we had the kids read the scripture, and said John 3:16, and they all just started blurting out John 3:16. It's probably the most quoted scripture in the world is John 3:16, and most of you can probably know it by memory. The gospel is good news because our salvation, our eternal life, and our home in heaven is guaranteed by the gospel. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. You know that Jesus is preparing a place. Jesus is making a way for us. The gospel is good news when we understand that we do not and cannot earn our own salvation. It is a free gift from God. You can't earn it. You have to accept it as a gift. The work of redemption and justification is complete, and it was finished on the cross. Full stop. The blood of Jesus plus nothing. The gospel plus nothing. I've had people that have come to me and they say, you know, Pastor, with my work schedule, I'm so sorry. I can't come to church all the time. I said, don't worry about it. You're not going to go to hell if you miss a service. Some of you look at me like, you don't believe that. The Bible does tell us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but coming to church isn't what gets you to heaven. It's a relationship with Jesus. I'm trying to free you up from a work mentality. You don't have to be involved in every area of church life. I mean, I've known people that they go to three or four churches because they have services on different nights. That way that, you know, they're always in church because they feel like that makes them more holy. No, it makes you more tired. Okay. Y'all may start throwing rocks at me here. But I'm just trying to tell you, walk in the liberty that God has given us. I love going to church, but if something happens and I can't go, it's not the end of the world. My salvation isn't based on my attendance. Let me ask you, how many of you have never missed going to church ever since you've been saved? See, if our salvation was based on attendance, all of us are in trouble. Because we've all, for one reason or another, missed attending a service. Salvation was finished on the cross. All we have to do is believe it, receive it, confess it, and repent and live for Jesus. For 3.5 years, Jesus never preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the gospel. Because he hadn't died, he hadn't been buried, and he hadn't resurrected. He talked about it. But if you look all through the teaching of Jesus, he talks about the gospel of the kingdom. Basically, what that means is when you accept Jesus, the kingdom of God comes to live inside of you, and someone else is now your boss. Amen? But I don't know about you, but I like being my own boss. I like making my own plans. I like deciding my own way to go. But that had to change when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And God's kingdom came to reside within me. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace became my head. I've done some really crazy things that the world would look at and say, why would you do that? It's because the boss directed us to do it. My wife and I have flown into African countries on the plane that was flying in to rescue all the missionaries out of the country. Why? Because God told us to go. My question is, who's your boss? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Is it you or Jesus? Has another question. Why do you come to CIC? Did God send you here? Are you just coming because a friend invited you? See, if you're not here because you know this is where God wants you to be, when things get tough or we get overcrowded and you don't have as much room as you think, you may leave. There was a church we used to go to and it had some problems, and I wanted to leave and we wanted to leave and we wanted to leave and we wanted to leave. And every time we prayed about it, God would say, no, that's where I want you to help the situation. Okay? Let me ask you this. Are you at your job? Do you know that God has given you that job? Amen. Then when things get tough, don't pack up and move. Is it okay just to be real? I'm stepping on my toes as much as yours, so that's okay. I'll go home and massage them later and soak them so you can do the same. In the little town that we lived in Kenya, we had one of the larger ministries there. And people used to come to my office all the time when they would want to do crusades in the city. And I would ask them, why do you want to do a crusade? And the very first answer was always, oh, Pastor, we want to get people saved. Not a good answer. Why do you want to come to my city? Oh, Pastor, we want to preach the gospel. Not a good answer. Because see, they wanted us to partner with them. So finally, after asking many questions, you would find out that the reason they wanted to come to our town is it was the next town on the map of their agenda. I said, well, that's not a good enough reason. I'm not interested in partnering with you. And then they get very frustrated and they would say, well, what is a good reason? I said, there's only one. God told you to come. Amen. God directed you. Jesus says, I don't say anything or do anything until first I hear the Father or see the Father do it. That's what it means to follow Jesus with the gospel. Radical change in your life. The gospel is good news because once we were enemies of God and now we're His kids. Amen. So what? It's all great information. So what? The so what is, if we reject to embrace the good news, we will embrace the bad news. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we forget verse 17 and 18. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world that through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what? People are condemned that have not believed in Jesus. And God has given this doomed world good news. And Jesus has shared his resurrection life and his resurrection power with us so that we have the power to share that good news to a doomed world. Now the question is, what do I do with the power? And I'm going to close with this illustration. Some years ago in Kenya, we had a break-in at our house. And I was gone, so my wife called the police to come and investigate. And they said, come get us because our Land Rover doesn't have any petrol. And she says, we're only 2 blocks from the police station, walk. So I don't know how long was it after that. Some hour or so or something. Here comes the Land Rover down the street with prisoners pushing it. And they pushed it into our compound. They did the investigation and they pushed it back. They had all of that power sitting there, a great vehicle, and they were able to do nothing with it because it had no petrol. And a lot of times we as Christians, we have all of the power of God, but we do nothing with it because it was meant for us to be a witness. And if we're not a witness for Jesus, we're abusing and misusing the power that Jesus has given us. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Live for Jesus. Let the words that you speak and the actions that you do to other people, let them be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this group of people. And Father, I thank you above all else for the gospel. Because the gospel is the power, your power unto salvation. And Father, let us never, ever be ashamed of the gospel. Father, help our lives, our actions, the way we treat people, the way we talk. Let it be a witness for you that the power of the gospel can go forth and can bring people to the cross. At the cross, at the cross. Father, help us to bring our burdens to the cross and leave them there. And then to get up and tell everyone about the good news. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.